Civilization, where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
UKIP, fascism or freedom? Today in Hove, on Monday, June the 3rd, 2013, Nigel Farage of the UK Independence Party is coming to give a public lecture. The public have been asked to come, they don't have to be members of UKIP. However, there's also a counter-demo planned by a group called United Against Fascism, which is actually an umbrella of several local groups who may or may not be aligned or agree on all points, but were advertised on a leaflet given out the previous week. We're now going to hear a little bit of audio from outside Hove Town Hall, recorded that evening, and then we're going to speak to someone who's been into the meeting to hear what Nigel Farage had to say. We're just outside the UKIP meeting in Hove Town Hall, which you can hear, there's quite a protest against it, which I'm just taking note of really. And I still could be going in, but I'm not sure I want to run a gamut of this.
Well, you need to get a ticket if you want.
This is a shout to get members of the public going in to hear Nigel Farage, which, again, whatever you think of politics, you should be allowed to go to a meeting to hear someone, but I think they'd be sure to get politicians like this, not the public who are invited to come, so. Well, that was some sound from outside Hove Town Hall a couple of hours ago. We now got Nigel Finnis, a local friend of information with us, who actually went into the meeting. So hi Nigel, you weren't too intimidated by the protesters outside?
I've never allowed myself to be intimidated by anybody, and I'm not going to start now. And I have to say that the same seemed to apply to the hall was virtually packed to the gunwales. It really was. There were several hundred people there of all ages and persuasions. And races, as a matter of interest, quite a number of African people there and dark Asian people there. And every one of them said, because a number of the protesters got in and they sort of intervened, one here, one there, and they bundled one out and then another one. And, you know, people were just saying, well, basically, that's fascism, denying freedom of speech. You know, I just shouted out, what are you so afraid of hearing? Why don't you stay and listen and make a useful contribution?
Yeah, absolutely. So you were allowed to put a question to, weren't you, in advance?
And there were loads of questions. They took, absolutely, Nigel didn't talk for a huge amount of time. The other Nigel Carter, who's the local organiser, he talked to begin with, and he talked for a while. And those are the only two speaks they had, and all the rest was questions, every one of which was answered extremely honestly. That's my opinion anyway.
Did Wayne have a question about the Bilderberg Group? Was that asked?
Ah, somebody did ask a question about the Bilderberg Group, and guess what? Nigel Farage said, thank you so much for asking such an interesting question. And he said, since 1950-something, Gemma, he said since 1950-something, after the cessation of the Second World War, that various bodies came together in order to try and stop, he said, there's no easy way of putting it, but he said, what had happened three times in 75 years of the Germans going in and invading France, and in total that ended up in the deaths over those years of 100 million people. And he said, these people are quite obviously well-meaning, but now I can't quite remember whether he said they're not elected by anybody or what. He said, we believe in openness. He said, we don't believe in meetings behind closed doors. Gemma, I think that's what he said, as I recall. But he said, you know, and the guy who put the question, he was very polite. He put the question properly. And I think he looked actually to be a bit sort of pleasantly shocked to hear that answer. But he said it does come down to the fact that he said we now have a situation where people in Southern Europe, for example, the Greeks, said he, are looking upon the current German nation as if they were trying to reenact the Second World War. And he said, it is an utter nonsense to say that there's been no wars in Europe, said he, since the formation of the EC. He said, there's wars and there's thousands, did he say millions, have died. But he didn't mention the Balkans or anything in particular, but he said he didn't have to when you think about Ireland, Northern Ireland. I mean, there's something going on all the time. So,
With the...
And he answered that question well. That's a very good question the guy put. Is that a mate of yours?
Yes, he's a friend of ours.
Well,
so,
he put, tell him from me, he did a bloody good question.
Yeah, because there is a build-a-boat meeting this weekend coming.
Right.
We won't go into too many precise details on here. Mm. Obviously, the information doesn't endorse any political parties as a channel for disinformation. We're a channel for the spreading of information and of all sorts.
Yeah, we try to be impartial.
Yes. I was going to say there's a word, I can't remember what it is, dissemination on disinformation.
Dissemination, that's the word exactly I was trying to think of.
The protests outside had a number of local left-wing groups, but it seemed to be organised by United Against Fascism, who seemed to be thinking that Nigel Farage's party, UKIP, who, as I said, we're not supporting particularly on here, we're just covering the event, they seemed to be aligning him up with a kind of fascist idea. And we actually saw a EU flag being waved outside the town hall, which I thought was surprising for protesters to want to wave an EU flag. It's like they're waving a flag of what is really a kind of corporate kind of body that's really about big money, as far as I can see. So would you say that things got a bit mixed up here with these activists, and they're not quite understanding where UKIP are coming from? Or they may have some points that are valid, but they're conflating a lot of issues together, really, and trying to oversimplify things. Would you say that's possibly true?
I would say that the protesters outside, and that includes, to my great disappointment, I can't think, is it Unite or Unison? Unison, a great friend of mine.
Well, we won't mention names.
Okay.
Every trade union.
Yes, the GMB. But what I'd like to say is that these people, if they had a point to make, it was completely lost in the translation, because I actually saw one woman who was trying to physically, she was dragging a guy up by the shoulder. I don't know what he said, but that's when I arrived, just after 6 o'clock, and I went into register. I was trying to get in. All right, darling, you can have some of what he got in Scotland, a Scottish lady with lesbian plastered all over her, the words lesbian. And I thought, what a shocking example for the LGBT community. What a shocking example for the Scots, whose independence I fully support, should they wish so. And what a shocking example for any left wing, when you consider that I was so highly ranked in a communist organisation over 40 years ago. I was number three in that organisation. These people have done the greatest disservice to their cause. To me, fascism is about getting in people's faces and intimidating them, be it verbally or physically. And by the way, Nigel Farage did raise the point about the EDL. What were the words, Gemma, that he said about the EDL? He said, we want nothing to do with them, we want nothing to do with them. He said, everybody is welcome in this party, whatever race they are, whatever religion they are, whatever their sexual persuasion. We have people, members of all the ethnic diversities on our central committee, said he. We want nothing to do with the EDL, said he. In fact, said he, you people will probably be better off joining them, and that brought the best.
Yeah.
He was absolutely right. He had an answer for everything. I am incredibly impressed. But then I knew Nigel many years ago.
Yeah.
And I said then, and I told him tonight, because he asked to have a word with me after the meeting. Yeah. When I raised the issue about the housing, it's a very good point, have a quick word afterwards, and I did.
Yeah, and raised a question about the size of housing units being too small locally.
Not just that, but I asked, had UKIP got a policy? What was UKIP's policy on housing? So I said, the one thing I haven't heard, either tonight or elsewhere, is any mention from yourself, Nigel, or from UKIP, on the crisis that besets this city, and indeed the crisis that besets this country. I said, and that is the chronic lack of housing. I said, and if I may indulge for a moment, I said, here, I said, in this city, I said, we have every single political party, not least the so-called Green Party, who would like to squeeze people into so-called affordable accommodation, whereby a double bedroom has a 2-foot wide door and a 3-foot space for a bed. I said, and not even Room for a Wardrobe. I said, and to borrow the words of a colleague, and that is Valerie Painter some years ago, this is not social housing, this is battery housing for battery people. I said, I'd like to know your answer to that. For a start, said he, no more building on green fields. There's any number of brownfields. And, said he, I didn't mention that, but I hoped he would, and he did, all the perfectly good houses not so far away in the Midlands and the north of England being demolished on a daily basis. Utter madness, said he. I also said that, I also said that over a quarter of a century ago, I was one of the people who represented Hove in Conservative Central Office. I said, and I had a hand in the formation of the legislation for the sale of council houses quite properly. I said there was nothing wrong with that, but I said it's the absolute truth that neither I nor anybody else who worked so hard on that policy was told that they would never build council housing again. And Nigel Farage said it was a marvellous thing because people can take a pride in their homes, it gives them a stake in society. Yes, more council housing should have been built. So yeah, there's an honest, straight out, honest answer. Yeah. I've never been to a meeting before where I haven't got mealy mouthed speech.
That's very, very encouraging. Were you all right coming out where the protesters still outside?
They'd all gone.
They all dispersed by that point.
And there were a few. They weren't actually police, I think they were community support.
There's
officers.
Blue tap on.
PCSOs, yeah. They weren't.
I don't think they were real police. No. But all the protesters had gone, and quite honestly, I was shocked because I thought if they so believed in what they were saying, they'd have stayed there the whole time and carried on.
Maybe
the penny dropped that they shot themselves in both feet. Who knows?
Well, we don't know. I mean, certainly I was surprised to see that EU flag being waved because that was just like almost like a plant, almost saying we put this in because it makes us look we're pro EU, and the EU's got pros and cons. But it just seemed a ridiculous thing to carry a very corporate kind of banner around, you know, if the EDL carry a Union Jack, it's criticised, yet they're walking around with an EU flag.
Good point.
And
very
I find
good
that
point.
Strange, you know.
Very good point.
We've had a look at Twitter and the various posts that have been coming up through the evening while you've been in the meeting. We didn't realise at the time, but someone went into Hove Town Hall to give blood during the actual meeting, because as you know, it's a huge building, lots of things going on at once, and they were heckled as a fascist going into the meeting by the protesters because they assumed they were going to the UKIP meeting, so they'd been putting a little bit on.
And it turned out that the person that was heckled was actually an off-duty police officer.
Really? And let me tell you something else in that vein. You know the guy Chief, that the big Argentinian fellow,
the security man.
He went outside. I don't know for what reason he went outside, and they all shouted at him, shame on you, you're a racist. He said, I work here and I'm from Argentina.
Yes, exactly. And we might ask, why did the Green Party...
I mean, how ridiculous.
The Green Party just hired them the venue, the Hove Centre, as it's called in a politically correct way, but Hove Town Hall as we know it. It was hired to UKIP, who are therefore a legal entity who have hired the venue.
And bringing money in.
So what, if the Green Party are opposed to them, probably or possibly politically, and there's certainly another party, so if they've rented it to them for the evening, they've got every right to use it, you know. So it's a very strange thing. We have a town which has become known as a demo town, where you have a demo actually opposing the hiring of a venue by a party that's the Green Party to another party. The whole thing gets kind of crazy, you know.
May I say one quick word, talking of the Green Party? Outside the town hall at one point was the immediate past chairman of the planning committee, Christopher Hawtrey, who disappeared, but somehow he was in the meeting later on, because I was outside having a glass of water and out came Chris Hawtrey and I was chatting to him and Frank Ledoux. I'd also like to say that both the deputy leaders of the Green Party were outside. Now, Phelan McCafferty was neither one thing nor the other. I shan't comment on that other than to say that he kept his distance from the crowd and he didn't appear to go in. But who did come up and say hello, including to you two, Peter and Martin, was Lizzie Dean, the other deputy leader.
Who's the councillor?
Yes, councillor Lizzie Dean, the Green Council of St Peter's. And I asked her, I said, are you going? Yes, I am. She said, I want to hear what's
Did she have any people having a go at her going in?
No. Not one.
So did they know she was a councillor, or did she have another entrance going?
I don't think so. But
maybe
I mean,
just been chance. They didn't target her. They may have been talking or something.
Okay, so they were kind of semi.
I would say that there was quite a number of protesters who were gradually removed from the building. Now, quite obviously, there'd been no sort of rigid regime. You had to sign a form with your quite properly name and address, telephone, in order to be given a ticket.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is perfectly reasonable. It's not asking you to join. They said, we're not asking you to join. We have to do this for security and fire regulations.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I would say this, that quite obviously those people that went in, some looked extremely, sorry if this is generalisation, but extremely like what you would think to be the opposite of a UKIP supporter, and yet they were allowed into the meeting.
Yeah, sure. Well, it was an open meeting for anybody to attend, which is what we must stress on here. It wasn't a meeting for UKIP members. It was a public meeting to come and hear what Nigel Farage had to say. And you could come along and hate everything he said, but you were allowed to go and listen. And what the protest seemed to be doing is saying you can't have the right to even come and listen. And I agree with some of what Nigel Farage says. Some of the things his party have said, I think, are a bit dubious. But you could go and criticise that, or hear it at least. But this protest seemed to be saying, no, you can't go near it. And if you do, you're a fascist. And if you're walking past the building, even for no other reason than you're in the area, you seem to be being branded a fascist, which is a crazy thing to do.
One protester had her hand up, you know, and of course to ask questions. And of course, straight away, when the lady over there, they went to her, she shouted, "You're racist scum." Well, my wife's from Hamburg and she's never referred to me in those terms, said Nigel. Which I didn't know, and I thought was an extremely good answer.
Somebody on...
Is there anything else you'd like to ask, Sidney?
We noticed somebody on Twitter earlier described the protesters outside the Hove Town Hall as Labour's brown shirts.
I would say that is not entirely fair, because I don't believe, frankly, that more than a handful, if that, of those people were members of the Labour Party. I don't believe they're members of any particular party, unless, of course, it's the Socialist Workers' Party, who always make themselves very prominent at these things, or possibly, like myself, of no party at all. I'm not a member of UKIP. I've been asked if I'd like to join. I said I'll give it serious consideration. But I have been independent for many years, and being independent, nobody pulls your strings. And yet these people, who you frankly rent a mob that I see time and again, they go on about liberty, but to me, it's as if they're all whipped into a frenzy, you know, by some party apparatus or something. It's the most bizarre contradiction in terms.
Well, we call them the robot radicals.
Yes, robot radicals.
And there's another Orwellian, I think it comes from George Orwell, or it may not, but where there's a left and right wing having a go at each other. Someone once said, after a while, I just couldn't tell them apart.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's that type of thing. And you just think, well, this is meant to be a meeting. It's kind of like a mania of just winding everybody up.
Yes.
And the left end up being as intimidating as what they perceive the right to be. And I'm not saying the right are particularly good. Seeing the EDL walking through town, you probably wouldn't want to be very near them. But going near that demo, I didn't want to be very near that either. So I kind of think you're just all loudmouths mouthing off.
They've morphed into the very thing. It seems to me they've morphed in to the very thing that they like to bleat on about, fascism. And I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, when I think, both our parents, my sister here, my mother and father went to war against the Nazis out in the Middle East, and Dad was in France as well. When I think about that, and when I think about the fact that we lost both our grandfathers, one was murdered by the Germans, the other one, indirectly because it became mustard gas, was murdered by the son of a fascist politician. That's all I could call the people in Northern Ireland at that time. So, you know, to be shouting at us about fascism is really a bit of a joke. It's just that, frankly, I do get very irate about it. It's the sheer ignorance, because let's put it this way, assuming that UKIP were some vicious right-wing organisation, all they've done is draw attention to them, instead of starve them of the oxygen of publicity.
Yeah, the same thing happens with the EDL marches in Brighton. It could just be a bunch of idiots going up and down, mouthing off the skinhead haircuts, and you just say, well, just across the road, it creates a lot of rumpus. I think the EDL come to Brighton because they know that the political
creator,
you know, it just comes to wind them up. That's all they do, because they don't mind being shouted at. But this whole thing is a charade. If they were ignored, they would go away, go somewhere else.
The real danger, if I may say, is this casual bandying around of the word fascism, because I know more than a few people who lost virtually everybody in the Nazis' gas chambers. They need to find out, first and foremost, read a dictionary, just exactly what fascist... Worse, it wasn't just fascist. Nazi, that's what the chief said. They called me a Nazi racist. I'm from Argentina and I work in... Nazi, not even fascist. No, they don't know the meaning of the word.
It's crazy.
History today, that's the trouble.
The little lady outside, when we walked out, she was talking to one of the policewomen, and she was upset because she said... I'm of mixed race, and they called me a Nazi and a fascist and a racist.
And what are we? We've barely a drop of English blood in us. Jewish, Romani and largely Irish from both the north and the south, and from both sides of that divide. Hardly likely to attend a racist meeting or a fascist meeting. Yes. They're patently ridiculous, and frankly, if I didn't know better, in fact, I will allege that I think these people are agent provocateurs or something like MI5 or MI6, because they are destroying the left wing's credentials, and I don't want to see the left wing destroyed. We need an opposition.
Now, we need a good left wing. I mean, the proper Labour Party and proper socialism is a very, very good thing.
I do seriously.
I know a lot of these groups come under the banner United Against Fascism as an email address on their flyer, but the individual organisations are separate from that. I won't say who or which organisation. I had a word with someone earlier when I saw you outside the town who came away, who was protesting. Well, we won't say who it was, but they were protesting against the Nigel Farage, but they were rather dismayed, let's say, by the approach being taken by the demonstrators, being quite so vocal and accusatory, and they decided to leave. But they had actually had a chat with some of the people going in and said, well, you know, we may not agree, but, you know, we don't want you to be called fascists and stuff. And they actually decided to come away from the event. So that was encouraging.
I rest my case.
So that was encouraging, yeah.
And certainly just we've been monitoring Twitter, like Peter was mentioning earlier, and the reaction does seem to be pretty much what we're saying here. Everyone seems to be sort of tweeting about this, saying that it's pretty shocking display outside the town hall. There's very few tweets are in favour of what happened outside there tonight. I think people are aware that it was quite despicable behaviour, in fact. So it's very interesting, and I think we certainly will keep an eye on this in terms of the social media, the way that people may continue to debate what happened tonight. And either way, I think it was quite an interesting event. I mean, we decided not to go in, myself and Peter, but Nigel, I think it was quite commendable that you went in tonight along with your sister, because the amount of abuse outside at one point was quite shocking. I mean, it got quite personal, didn't it, at one point? It wasn't just
personal. And frankly, tell them, please.
I walked through, and that's that they were talking to somebody. I said, don't go in like these fascists. And I just looked at them at first, and then they all started shouting when we were walking in.
Oh, it's very
intimidating. And I turned around and I said, you look at yourselves.
Yep.
Then I walked in.
Very intimidating.
But it was very intimidating.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, our family largely, the biggest half, comes from Northern Ireland. And I mean that, for many, many years, anybody that dared to ask for basic civil rights, I'm not talking about IRA or Sinn Féin here, but NICRA, the Northern Irish Civil Rights Campaign, and then the People's Democracy, the more left-wing thing, merely asked for the right for people to vote. If they were Catholic, they couldn't vote. They couldn't even vote if they were a Protestant, if they didn't own a home. And most people didn't own a home. So, I mean, you talk about... what's the answer? Rotten boroughs. Disenfranchisement.
Yeah.
And if anybody spoke up, that's exactly what you get. People shouting at you and the bully boys with masks coming around at night and blowing your brains out. So, yeah, we know a thing or two about fascism, I think we would say.
Yeah, OK.
I'm going to have a cigarette.
OK. Well, thanks for that, Nigel.
The information. where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.